Okay, so we were in the middle of Yud Gimel Mabez yesterday, towards the end. Yud Dalet is really a continuation, so it's worthwhile to just review what we spoke of yesterday. So the Gemara had quoted Braisa, there's a machlokes when it comes to the yados, the handles of the stems of the fruit, whether we view the yados as being part of the food or separate from the food. Is that part of the food or is it a solus? So the Gemara recorded machlokes that the Acherim thought that it was part of the food, and the Tanakama felt that the yados were separate from the food.
Who's
the
Acherim?
The Acherim in the Braisa. And we just started. So, just reviewing from yesterday that we saw the Braisa brought a machlokas that the first opinion felt that the yados were not part of the food, and you therefore can use it for the schach. And the Acherim, which is the opinion, we don't have a name for, but Acherim, the other people, felt that yados were part of the food, and you could not use it for schach unless you had more psolas than the food and yados together. That was machlokas. Again, whether yados was a food and not good for schach, or not food and is good for the schach. So the Gemara ended up saying that we're talking about a case where initially the person had cut the fruit for the purpose of eating it. And when you cut it for the purpose of eating it, everybody held that it's going to be considered part of the food. Because since the stem helps you hold the food, so that's going to be considered part of the food, and it's yados. But then what happened was you changed your mind in the middle. The person who cut it off said, you know what, now actually, even though I cut it initially for schach, initially for food, I actually want to use it for schach now. So the question is, when the person changes his mind, is that going to change the status of the yados? Right? So that's the discussion, when he changes his mind. So the Gemara says, now, when he changes the mind, so we understand the opinion of the Acherim, because usually changing your mind is not going to change something. When something is going to be considered for the halachas of Tumah Vatara, you need to do a Maisa to change the status of it. A simple Machshava, changing his mind, is not going to be good enough. So the Gemara says, according to that, now we're going to take it up from the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel Mabez, from the last word, E kotzes in l'achila. If you initially cut it off for eating, and when you use it for eating, the yados is going to be part of the food because it helps you hold on to it to eat it. So my tamayo derabanan, why did the rabbanan say then, if we're saying it's a case where you change your mind to a schach, why changing your mind is going to make the yados now no longer part of the food? The chamim held, the acherim, the chamim held that yados are not part of the food, it's part of the schach. But if we're saying it's a case where you initially cut it for the food, so for the purpose of food, we view the stem as being part of the food, how by changing your mind is that going to say, oh, no, now I want to use it for schach. The yados are not part of the food. Yados is separate. How is that going to change my simple machshava? V'chi tema kisavri rabbanan. Maybe you're going to think, maybe you're going to suggest that the rabbanan are of the opinion, kevan dim nimlach aleim, once you change your mind, l'sichach, if you change it, you want to use now the food and the stems for schach, but l'lei machshavaso. So the machshava has the ability to change the status of the yad. So when I initially cut off the stem, the fruit, the stem is part of the food because I hold the stem to eat the apple. But no, I change my mind. That machshava, now that I want to use it for schach, that's going to tell me, you know what? The fruit I don't really need, but the stem I actually want to separate. I want to use that for schach, but I don't actually separate it. My simple machshava, if you're going to say that machshava can change the status of yados, is that really true? So now this is going to get a little bit complicated now. Could a simple machshava alone change the status of a yad? Could it change the status of tumah vatara? Because we're talking about yados here, we're really referring to in terms of hilchos tumah vatara and schach all together. So is machshava alone able to change the status of something? V'hatanan, the Mishnah tells us as follows: Kol hakelim, all different utensils or clothing, yardin lidei tumah, can become tame b'machshava. So for Rashi talks about a case, let's say you are finishing up some leather. Tanning the leather, right. So if you decide that you want to use it at this point of tanning the leather, that machshava, as opposed to using it for a later stage, my machshava wanting to use it now can make it susceptible to tumah. The machshava could create tumah. However, v'ein olin, the Mishnah continues, v'ein olin bin tumasan el b'shinoi maisa. But to remove the status of tumah, that only works to remove, again, that's a simple background.
Breaking a kli, that's
right. So you need it, for something to become susceptible to tumah, it has to be a kli, only a kli. So what makes it a kli? Well, it has to be my machshava. My machshava says, now, since I want to use this skin that I just tanned, it's going to be considered a kli. Now, to undo its status of being a kli, I have to change it with a maisa, such as breaking the kli, but a machshava that, you know what, I don't want to use the skin anymore for this, I want to do something else to it, the machshava alone doesn't work to break its status of a kli, you have to do a maisa.
Skins by themselves are mekabel tuma once they're tanned, even if there's no shape to them, just or normally.
No, you have to do some sort of action to it.
They don't have to have a base kibbutz. That's only a kli, or also applies to.
I think the pasuk is or osak.
Right,
sock,
the
I think
or osak. Yes, yeah. We learned that it has. Okay.
Has to have. Yeah, a wood does not need it though.
On the contrary, the wood needs and the or does for.
No, I think the wood, even a flat piece of wood, pshute kliates, could actually also be mekabel tuma. Everything else, I think, requires a base kibbutz. So then the Mishnah continues and says, this is a challenging piece of Gemara. So again, the ain olin bin tumasan ela bishinim ma'aseh, it only removed its status of kli, it only undoes the ability to become tame if you do an action to it. So ma'aseh motzi mide ma'aseh umiyar machshava. An action could undo an initial action that I made to make a kli, or an initial machshava I had to make a kli. A ma'aseh could break the status of being a kli. However, machshava, the Mishnah continues, eino motzia, it does not undo its status of a kli. Lo miyad ma'aseh, whether or not the kli was made with a ma'aseh, lo miyad machshava, or whether I made the kli with a machshava can never undo it. You always need a ma'aseh. So now translating to our case, how then, if we're talking about a case where I cut the apple with the stem for eating, so the stem is part of the yad. Now I change my machshava, I want to use it for tzchach, so my machshava should not be enough to say that the stem and apple are going to be viewed as separate, because for schach purposes, the stem is good, an apple isn't good. My machshava can't remove the status of a yad being an extension of an apple. How then do the Rabbanan say that by simple machshava is enough to say the yados are going to be now categorized, grouped with the schach as opposed to the food?
The argument of the Gemara is that when you cut it with the machshava of food, you turned the yad into mekabel tuma.
Exactly.
Somebody will be mekabel
tuma. It's a kli, right.
Okay, and now you basically, by putting it into the schach, you're saying again that it's not, and there's no... Right. There's
what is
no
it built again?
Right. It's a handle, like a yad, a handle.
Those are the branches, you know, like when you let's say when you have grapes, the little what connects the grapes to the main branch.
Okay, so now how then, again, if that's the situation we're talking about, as the Mishnah says, so how is a machshava alone able to change the yad from once being part of the kli, and now not being part of the kli, a machshava is not enough. So the Gemara suggests now, five lines down, v'chi tema, if you're going to say that, wait a second, maybe honey mile kelim, de chashivi, maybe only when it comes to kelim, real utensils that have a function, maybe those require maisa to undo the status of a kli. Ava yados, still tzorach achilin inu, b'machshava nasa, b'machshava silka. When it comes to the yad, a handle, an extension of the fruit, which is not so important, it's not so crucial, that's maybe you could easily undo that. Maybe a machshav is enough to undo the status of a yad. Right. When it comes to kli, you need a real maisa to undo the kli. A yad, you could say, my simple machshava says the yad's no longer part of the kli anymore. That would suffice. That's what the Gemara suggests. But you can't say that, because the Gemara says, now this is going to get even more confusing now. V'hatnan, the Mishnah is about to tell us that that's not true. You even need a maisa to undo the status of a yad. How do we see this? Kol yados ha'ochlim, all handles are all stems of a food. Shebasasan, we'll see what that means in a second. Bigoren tahoros. So we're going to skip the parentheses like normally we skip parentheses. So any food that's basasan bigoren tahoros. What does basasan mean? Bishma lemandam or basasan hiter agudan shapir. I understand the one who defines basa means you undo the egged. You had a bundle of, let's call them, a wheat. And the wheat had handles. Each of the wheats had a piece of a handle on each stalk.
Each piece of wheat.
I'm trying to think of something you put in bundles. So you have a bundle of wheat. So each stalk of wheat had a handle on it. That's part of the food, what it grows with. A part that's not edible, but it's something you can hold on
to. What connects the grain to the
ground, maybe?
Or to the stem.
I don't know how. I'm not sure how the wheat exactly looks. I don't know. It's like a long stalk with like little things growing. I don't know what's the food, what's not the food. But so if you understand basasan to mean hiter agudan, you untie the bundle. So then things make sense. Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Shapir. See, Rashi Shapir, it's probably around, it's halfway down the narrow lines, Shapir. Mm-hmm. He says, Lo Kashicha. We have no question from the previous why, previous discussion. Dalibay, Matis Lememar, the Kaim Rabbanon Kavasa. You could say the Rabbanon hold like this opinion. Kevin Shehitir, once you untie the bundles, Egdon, Lo Havi Elakimach Shavab Amma. That's not a real Maisa. You didn't do an action. Untying, you didn't do an action to the actual wheat. You untied something around it. That was simply a machshava ba'alma. It was simply a thought. De gali daita de lo nichle biyados shalhen. That was your way of revealing your das that you really didn't want to use it as yados anymore. Sheina yados ruuyos lishibolon ela kedei laogden behem. The only function the handles have is to make it easier to hold them together when you wrap it around. But once you untie them, the handles play no purpose anymore. There's no function for it anymore. So once I untied it, that was clear. It was a change in machshava. But you can't qualify that as a maisa because you didn't do anything to actually kli. You didn't do anything to the actual stalks. It's simply a machshava. So if you understand basan to mean hiter agudan, which now we're saying really means a machshava, so then rabbanim before make a lot of sense as well. Just like in this case of the yados, call yados ha'ochlin shebasan b'goren toros, that machshava could undo the stas v'yad, so to in our previous discussion of the food and the schach, the Rabban would hold, normally when it comes to kelim, you need a maisa to undo the kli. But when it comes to yados, it's enough to have machshava. Everything makes a lot of sense. Machshava, again, maisa has to undo a kli, a machshava is allowed to undo a yad. Ella, however, l'man damer, my basan, basan mamish, if you're going to define the word basan to mean really, literally basan, which means...
What? What is
basa? What basa mean? So Rashi tells us it's when the shadushin liyados baragli behemos b'makvas. They would, it's called in English, threshing. They'd stamp on it. So the way it worked is they talk about this in Hilchos Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos, and Sidur the Pashkam. They would cut the wheat off, gather the wheat together, put them in some outdoor threshing field, and animals would stamp on them. And by stamping on them, they would remove any of the inside,
Like in the wood grapes.
What? Not with grapes. No, grapes is to press. That's to get the juice out. This is to remove the wheat kernels, I guess, of the stalk. So when you stomp on the kernels, you crush them, and the kernels fall out. That's they crush it. So if you understand basan to literally mean basan, which we're told by Rashi, which means to crush them, that's a real maisa being done to the thing. So if you interpret basan to mean a maisa, so what we're saying is, when it comes to yados, even when it comes to the handles of food, you need an action to undo it. It's not enough to have a simple machshava. So Ma'ikla Meimar, the Gemara says, this is the first Y line down. Ma'ikla Meimar, if you understand basan to mean basan mamish, a real maisa. Hachanami she basan mamish. Here too also, you have to say a case of our case back in the schach now. Now the Rabbanan say, when you cut off the food, you cut off the fruit to eat with the stem, and then you change your mind to use it for schach, you didn't simply change your mind. We're going to say that, too, is a case where you stomped on them. You stepped on them, and when you stepped on them, that was a maisa done to the food, and that's why it undid the status of the yad. If you simply had a machshava before, that I want to use the food no longer to eat, but to use it for schach, the machshava is not enough. The case of the schach before is where you stepped on them, and that's why.
Isn't it the opposite? I mean, the whole svara is that if you're saying that the machshava is enough, then according to the second shot, according to the first shot is good because, right, if machshava is enough, then according to the first shot is enough because it's good because there is no maise. According to the second one, do you need a maise?
Exactly.
So in the case of our schach, it wouldn't work out.
Unless you say our case of schach is also where you did a maise, which the Gemara says, hachanami shibasan mamish. The case of schach is where you also basan, you stepped on the food, and by you doing that mice and crushing them, that was a mice that undid.
I'm not talking about shibulim. What is he doing? He's crushing the grapes.
I guess that's the case. Does Rashi say? Yeah, you see, look at Rashi. Hachanami, this is like eight narrow lines up in Rashi.
Yeah.
Hachanami, pluksa da'achem rabbanon, the previous brayse we were discussing about the schach, kishibasan mamish, kishanim lachasichach. He didn't simply take the fruit and say, you know what, he had a machshav, I want to change it. He actually started stepping on them. I know, if you crush the grapes, you're going to make wine, but
okay.
But he doesn't care about the food, he cares about the stalks, the stems. So that's how you wiggle out of it. So what comes out is, at least for us to remember, there's a machlokas. Everybody agrees when it comes to changing a kli, you need a maisa. When it comes to changing a yad, the machlokas whether it's enough to have a machshava, or you even need a maisa there as well. And that's going to hinge upon how you interpret the brisa before about changing from the food to the schach.
Right.
Okay, so now if it's a case, Gemara asks first why line
so,
down.
So,
yeah.
So we remain a machlokas if you really need to something in this case if you need a
maisa or not.
Maisa or not.
Exactly. This is fun Tumah V'Tahara stuff, getting a little bit of exposure for Tumah V'Tahara. It's a little bit exciting, right? I know there are no pictures yet, David, but we're getting there very soon, okay?
Very exciting.
Yichad Yisrael. Okay, Ihachi, if that's the case, we're talking about a case of a Maisa. Mai Tamayo De'Acherim. So why do the Acherim on the Brisa we just did on Gimel Beis, why do they say that Yados are still part of the food? I stomped on the grapes, I pressed the grapes, I did it in Maisa. Shouldn't that Maisa indicate that I no longer want to use the Yados as part of the food, I want to use them for stems? Everyone should agree that the Yados shouldn't be Tame anymore, it shouldn't be part of it. So Gemara says, Damar Rabbi Yossi, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, we saw above the Brisa, that the parentheses rather, Rabbi Yossi, we ignored it, but there's another opinion of Rabbi Yossi that held differently. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? The Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Mitame. He says it's going to be tamei. Even if you do a maisa to it, the maisa is not enough to undo the status of a yad. It's still going to retain the status of a yad as part of the food.
But Rabbi Yossi is on which brisa? On this one? On the last
and
one?
The brisa about the yadot, call yadot ha'ochlin,
shebasa
megoron. Even if you start pressing them and crushing them, it's still going to be tamei. So we have to figure out why that is. Didn't you do maisa? Isn't a maisa able to undo a kli? If a maisa is able to, if I break a kli, it could undo the status of a kli. Certainly, if I break a yad, it should be able to undo the status of a yad. So why does Yossi say it's still tamei after I did a maisa?
So why did we take it out if it's actually saying that?
You know, simply because it was waiting to use it now. It wanted to use it later. Okay. That's all. It's part of the actual brisa has him there. It just wanted to wait to show his opinion. So let's understand Rabbi Yossi. Why is a maisa not going to undo the status of a yad? So it says the Gemara. Hi, Mai, what's going on here? Bishma Hasim, I understand there, in the case of the Basis on Bright Mishnah, Taima de Rabbi Yossi, Chazia, why does Rabbi Yossi still think the Yados are Tamei? Because Chazia, it still has a purpose. The Yad still has a purpose. Why? Licha de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, hold the Ru'uyos lehofrin ba'atar. Because when you're crushing them, the stems, the handles, still serve purpose. It helps you flip it over when it's in the threshing field. Rashi says, the last narrow line, hol v'ruis l'hapich rashi hashibom, you can still take the handle of the shibom, of the stalks, and kind of flip them over when you're after doing all the threshing and stomping on it, it's still quite helpful. However, so I understand why even after stomping on them, the handles are still going to become tamed. The function, when it comes to kalim, it's all about function. Is there a function or not a function? So there's still a function in the threshing field. But that's why he'll say tamed by the threshing field. However, hocha in our case of the schach, so my chazia. So what relevance, once I decide I start crushing the grapes, because I want to use the stems of the grapes for schach, so why would the stem still be considered a purpose? What would the purpose be of the stem as part of the grapes? I don't need it anymore for anything. It doesn't help me with anything.
After you crush the grapes.
After you crush your grapes. I want to use the stem simply for a schach. It doesn't serve the purpose of a handle for anything anymore.
And what do we say? What's the purpose of the handles on the shibolim?
In the shibolim, when I start crushing them, so I have on the ground now, I have some kernels of wheat and I have some stalks.
Right.
So by me holding on to the handles, it helps me clean everything up and remove all the different stalks. That's how I'm understanding it. Is that how it's explaining there? Do you know?
Yes.
Right? It helps you clean everything up. By holding on to the stems, you could pick it up easily and then clean up the stems. You have left over the kernels.
Okay.
And really what they did, the next step, at least in Sidur de Pas, when they made bread, they actually would take them and throw them in the air, and the wind would come and blow away the lighter pieces, like the stalks, and the heavier kernels would fall to the bottom. So it probably was helpful to take the handles and throw it up in the air. So it served a purpose. So even after you did a Maisa, the Yadda still had the purpose there. You never undid the purpose. If I break a kli, let's say, there's no purpose anymore. I broke a kli.
So I'm sorry. So in the case of the of this brisa, he actually had shibolim that he wanted to use them to eat anyway.
The initial case here?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he wanted to eat it necessarily.
So he never changed his mind. It's just that he decided to separate.
Exactly. It's a mice, but if it was a mice he did.
Right.
You don't need machshava.
We're not talking about changing minds here.
No, this is about a mice. You
a
need
mice.
It. Right, right.
Okay.
Right. So a maisa to a kli is only undo this. If I take a kli and I start making it into a different kli, it's still a kli because I It's a kli. Only if I break it and do a maisa that has no purpose anymore is it no longer considered a kli. So now going back to our case, though, in the schach, when you start stepping on the grapes and you separated the stems and the grapes, or
what do you see grapes?
Oh, that was the.
Speak before. About any grapes?
It's about figs. Yes, ta'anim. It said anavim. It said tamarim. No, this one over here. This
way before.
This one. This price here.
Our price.
Yeah. One more.
Jonas is mad.
Yeah, somewhere there. Okay. So again, so I start stepping on the grapes, so the figs, the dates, for the case of the schach. So that's a maisa. The yadlos have no purpose anymore. I don't need the stems for anything anymore. So that's a maisa without any purpose.
In that case, Rabbi Yossi should also agree that it's...
No, there Rabbi Yossi should say tahor.
Right. So Rabbi Yossi should say tahor as everybody else.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
So Gemara explains, no, there too is a purpose. Even when it comes to schach, the stem serves a purpose. What's the purpose? Chazir l'chi sasar, when you take down the schach, l'minke l'hu b'gilai. It's easier to remove the schach on their handles. Instead of taking the crushed fruit, you just take the stems. It's easier to hold on to. And that's the purpose it serves. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, when you smash the food, if there's still a purpose, it's still tameh. And that explains now the acherim, why the acherim, even after you crush them, in the case of the yesterday's daf spraisa, the yadlos are still part of the food, because it still serves a function as a makabel tumah. Okay?
So can you use it for schach or not?
Depends. Okay. Says the Gemara now, gufa. Kol yados ha'ochlin, all the handles of foods, shebasasan, that we had machlokas before a basaman, but you crushed them maybe, or you untied them, begoren, tahoros, Rabbi Yossi mitame, so my basan, we're just repeating what we said before, but a little bit clearer now, what does basasan mean? Rabbi Yochan Omar basan mamish, you actually stamped them and crushed them, you did a maisa, and Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hitir agdan, you simply untied them, which Rashi told us didn't mean there was a maisa. Untying is not an action done to the actual guf of the shibalim, it was simply a way of revealing your machshava. Bishmal Rabbi Eliezer Darim Basan Hitir Agdan, I understand according to him who understands Basan to mean untying them, Hainu de Mitame Rabbi Yossi. That's what Rabbi Yossi held as Tame because you didn't do a Maisa. Untying is simple Machshava. El Rabbi Yochanan Amar Basan Mamish Amai Mitame Rabbi Yochanan, who thought you actually stepped on them and pressed them, you did a Maisa. So then, Amai Mitame Rabbi Yossi. Why did Rabbi Yossi say it's still Mitame? You did a Maisa to it. A Maisa should be able to undo the status of the Yad. Like we said above, since it still serves a function, even after you crush them, the handles help you throw the shibam up in the air and juggle them around, so then it has a function. That's why it doesn't lose status of yad.
Just explaining, just repeating what we did.
Yeah, it basically just presenting it in a much clearer way.
Right, okay.
Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Lama Nimshla Tfilasan Shal Tzadikim, look, got it for you? Lama Nimshla Tfilasan Shal Tzadikim Le Ki'atar. Why the tefillah, the prayers of tzaddikim, compared to an atar? Where do we see that? So Rashi tells us, you look at 1, 2, 3, 6 wide lines down in Rashi. Lama nimshla. Agav, you know, it's obviously not directly related to what we're talking about, but agav, da'amar hol v'ruas lehafich ba'atar, since we mentioned above the word atar, nakanami ha'milsa lama nimshla atar. What does atar literally mean? Are they saying?
Yeah, what?
Kinshon.
A pitchfork, okay.
A what? Pitchfork.
Okay, so why is the tefillah of tzaddikim compared to an atar, to a pitchfork? So the Gemara said, Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Dechsev vayater el Hashem, vayater lo." We have the pasuk says that he daven to Hashem. This is talking about what with Yitzchak and Rivka, right?
Yeah,
right.
When Rivka was suffering.
Right. So he's Yitzchak daven that they should have children. Vayatar, very strange lashon vayatar. Why is that lashon of tefillah? So explains the Gemara as follows: Ma atar pitchfork zem hafech as a tefua begor makom makom. You use a pitchfork to move the tefua from this place to that place. You flip it over. Af tefilasan shel tzadikim. So too, the tefillah of tzaddikim is able to turn over the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from midas achzarios to midas rachmanios. Interesting maisa I read last night from Rabbi Yosher, but I don't think we have time for it. Very good, very apropos to this. If there's time afterwards, I'll tell you, remind me.
The maisa, where do you read it?
The Art Scroll biography. Uh-huh. It's very long, I'm almost at the end of it. Very, very interesting story. Okay.
When you have time to read it.
Downtime. At night. Yeah. Nighttime, exactly. I'm relaxing. My mind is ready to explode. Okay, the Mishnah says, Misachin bin Asarim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. First opinion, Rabbi Yehuda holds in this new Mishnah, a person is able to use boards, like we have beautiful pictures here, boards, as chach. You're allowed to use boards. And Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says you cannot use a board as chach. Now, Nasan aleha neser shurachav arba tfachim. Kasher, let's say I use a board that's four tfachim wide, it's kasher. Uvilvaj lo yishan tachtav, so long as I don't sleep directly underneath the four tfachim, it doesn't disqualify the entire schach, but just don't sleep below this. So Gemara is going to explain exactly what the Mishnah is referring to. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Rav, Machlokas bin Nisarim Sheish Bohen Arba, the Machlokas of Rabbi Hudim Rabbi Meir, whether you're allowed to do boards, is a case where the boards are Arba, it's four tfachim wide. The Rabbi Meir is like Gzeras Tikra. Rabbi Meir is concerned that if you start using a very wide board, people are going to say, oh, that's like a ceiling. I could have a sukkah in my house with a real ceiling. Who needs a schach? No difference of a four tfachim board and a ceiling. And Rabbi Yehuda less like Gzeras Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned the person might get confused with a four tefach wide board and a roof. There's clearly a difference between a ceiling inside and a four tefach wide board. Aval bin Nisarim Shein ben Arba. If it's a board that's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's like 3.9. Everybody agrees it's kosher. Even Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Meir will allow you to use a board that's less than 4 tefachim. The pictures we have, this is 4 tefachim wide, 3.9. Okay, 3.9, everybody agrees this is good.
Even like this, it's kosher?
Even this, Rabbi Meir will allow you to use it.
3.9 each, but they're all together.
It has to be whatever it is, the four of them, so it ends up being a little bit less than 16, what, 15.6? 15.6 tefachim the whole thing. And then you have five
of them.
No, you have to have more tzilsa than chamsa. You need more shapes.
The only issue is that the soup should get watery. Yeah? It has to have enough space so that if it drains, they should. It's true.
What? The soup?
Yeah. The marak? Yeah.
I know. Based on the at what point,
nowadays.
If it rains, right? If it rains.
If it rains, there has to be enough space.
The reason the Gemara says
the for this.
The Mishnah says, if it rains, when do you have to leave the sukkah to go inside? When it gets to the point where it falls on your food and you don't want to eat your food anymore, and then that's too much rain, you go inside. So it has to have the ability for it to be able to rain and ruin your soup that you would go inside. But if it's completely sealed, then there's no...
What about the tzel?
You have more tzel than chamsa.
No. There's no shiur, but the hill is no chama at all.
That's okay.
Oh, that's okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
More shade. This is definitely, certainly more shade.
It's only shade.
So that's all according to Rav. That this case, everybody agrees 3.9, this is good. And in the case of 4 and above, 4 wide and above, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Meir Yehuda.
But it's the same thing.
No, because...
What does matter? Because
once it's too wide, it reminds you of a ceiling inside the house. So I'm going to say, just like I could sit inside a four tefachim wide beam board, I could also sit inside my house. What's the difference?
That's one opinion.
Well, that's we're explaining the opinion of Rabbi Meir, why he says you cannot sit in a four tefach wide schach. That would imply it's a home of thing. That's all according to Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah. Comes along Shmuel and says, Ushmuel Amar, Bishain ben Arba Machokas. No, this case is where they're actually arguing, when it's 3.9. That's the Machokas. Aval Yesh ben Arba, Divriakol Psula. If it's a case of 4, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that's disqualified. So Gemara says, Ain ben Arba, if it's not 4 Tfachim, it's this case. Vafil pachos mishlosha hakan ba'aman inyum. Anything less than this? Let's say it's even less than 3 tefachim wide. It's tiny. It's little rods of bamboo. So even there, then Rabbi Meir will say that's not good. That's pashut. Less than, why are they arguing less than 4 tefachim? Less than 3 tefachim, they're going to argue also. At what point is the limit going to be? So Amar Rapapa comes to qualify Shmuel's statement and say, this is what Shmuel meant to say. Yesh ben arba, if it has 4 tefachim, divriya kol psul. Everybody agrees this is not good. Pachas mishlosha, if it's less than 3 tefachim, just let's view them as these bamboo shoots. Pachas mishlosha, divriya kol ksher. That certainly is good. The machlokas is my time karnim ba'almaninu. Those are simply karnim. They're reeds. Of course, that's good. Ki pli, when do they argue? Mishlosha ad arba, between three tvachim and four tvachim. That's where they argue. Mar savar kevin de lisneu shir makom logazinim. Since it's less than four tvachim, and less than four tvachim is not considered a rishus in its own in general. Less than four tvachim is not considered its own. Domain. We're not goes there. A person's not going to confuse that with a real house inside a house ceiling. Umar Savar came into Nafik Lemetoras Lavud Gazirim. Once we left the halachas of Lavud, Lavud was anything less than three tefachim, we viewed as being nothing. So less than three tefachim is certainly good. Once you go above three tefachim, it no longer has the status of Lavud, so then it could get a little bit confusing. So that's the machlokas according to Shmuel. Above four, everyone agrees is possible. Below three, everybody agrees is kosher. That tevach in between the three and four, that's where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue. That's all according to Shmuel.
They're not wide enough. They're not important enough.
In general, we never find anything less than four tefachim be considered significant. So we look at, let's say, Rishus, defining different domains. Four tefachim tells me it's a new Rishus b'fnei atzmo.
Okay.
Just like in general, we see that four tefachim is something significant, so to here. But less than four tefachim, we never find any significance of something less than four tefachim. So why suddenly, when it came to Sukkah, would we use that as a concern? We're trying to look elsewhere for another model that less than four tefachim might have significance, even though there's no direct connection. But the sheer four tefachim, or less than four tefachim, is that significant anywhere else?
Okay. All right.
Okay, so now, so that's
and according to and he holds that what that is, since Lavud is over three, then it is chashuv. Then you do exactly.
Exact. Since you left this, the halachas of Lavud, now it's not Lavud, so let's, even though it's not yet a Rishus b'fnei atzmo yet, less than four is nothing in terms of Rishus, it's still no longer Lavud. There's kind of this...
But we're going the opposite then of Lavud, because we're covering three, not leaving open three.
Right, it's true. We are going the opposite.
But we're actually analyzing just from the midah of Lavud that anything more than three is considered an important measure, otherwise it wouldn't be considered Lavud.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So that is the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Now, I'm more than going to try to bring some proofs now. Tanan, we are six lines from the bottom, the last two words. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Nasan ale nesar, shirachav arba tfachim ksherim. You place a wooden board that's four tfachim wide. Ubilvad shlo yishan tachtav, so long as you don't sleep underneath it. The Mishnah allowed you to use such a board, but just don't sleep below it. Bishmol Shmuel, this makes sense according to Shmuel. Damar bishein behen arba machlokas. That less than four tefachim is where they debate. Aval yesh behem arba divrei kol psula. But when it's four tefachim wide, everybody agrees it's possible. Mishum hachilo yishan tachlev. So that's why you don't sleep below it, because everybody agrees. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir say that's possible for schach. El the Rav damar bishyesh behen arba machlokas. Well, according to Rav, where it's four tefachim above, everyone—that's where the machlokas is. Aval ein behen arba divrei kol ksherah, but less than four tefachim, everybody agrees it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda, amai lo yishan tachtav. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do you not sleep below this? Why not? Didn't we just say it's four tefachim wide? Oh, because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that if it's even four tefachim wide, it's
right,
still a kosher.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, right, it's not a kuli alma.
Right, according to Rav, more than four tefachim is good, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So
right.
Why can't you sleep
because
underneath
this? Because it's more than four.
Exactly.
Right.
So Gemara says, Misvaras divrei koli. Who said this last line of the Mishnah is according to both opinions?
Uh-huh.
It's Seifa, us and the Rabbi Meir. The Seifa goes according to Rabbi Meir, who holds four tefachim is possible. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks four tefachim is good, so in echanami, you could sleep below it.
So all it's saying here is that if we could still say the machlok is it on four and above. But
correct.
It doesn't mean that it is.
Exactly.
It's meaning that it's not ruling it out.
We're not. This mission is not ruling that exactly. This mission
right.
Is only going according to Rabbi Meir, who says it's possible.
And you could still say the machlokas is either four and above or from three to four.
Correct. There's no proof from
there
this.
There's no proof. Okay.
Either direction. Each person could wiggle out of this mission.
Right.
Last line of the
Amud. You cannot sleep under more than four tefachim.
According to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. But we pass in like Rabbi Meir.
So, and everybody agrees that less than four, between three and four, it's kasha.
That's only according to Shmuel's understanding of the Gemara. It's confusing.
Right.
There's machlokas and there's another machlokas. How to understand the machlokas? So, lemais, how we pass in, I'm not sure. I have to look in the Shulchan Aruch. But don't pull any lemaisa out of this yet. I don't know. Just use those regular beams, those mats. You'll be fine. Don't take any wood boards.
Don't take this table.
No, exactly.
This is less than 4 tefachim.
No, it's more.
It's more.
Yeah. Almost 5 tefachim, yeah. Right. This would be the machlokas, according to Rav. This would be the machlokas, right, using these boards.
But I have someone to be some machlokas.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You're learning.
Anything you do, I want somebody to be some.
Yeah. Tashma, last line of the Amud. We are running out of time. Tashma. Shnei sadinim mitstar.
Is davening 7 or 5 to 7?
Oh, I don't know. 7? Okay. All right, so we have a little bit more time. Tashma, shnei sadidim mitstarfin. You have two sheets, and they're mitstarfin. They can combine into 4 tefachim. Look at the last line of the Rashi here. Sadidim mitstarfin. L'arba tefachim. You can have two sheets combined together to have a total of 4 tefachim. Lifsol besukah mishum schach pasol. To create 4. Mishasichach b'davar makabal tumah. A sheet is something that's makabal tumah. If you place these sheets together, which combine to 4, place it somewhere in the middle of the sukkah, it's going to be possible it's 4 tefachim. Is that this case here? No.
Okay.
Nice picture there. Okay, there's two sheets together in the center, down the line, that's the sheets in the middle,
yeah,
and that combines to 4 tefachim. That's going to be combined to 4 tefachim of pasul.
And now this according to Shmuel, this is according to whom? Just the right.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
Okay, then the Gemara says, Shnei Nesarim, if you have two boards, a Mitzarfim, two boards are not Mitzarf to each other. So Rashi says, you should look at Rashi, Shnei Nesarim, a Mitzarfim, top line, Lipshosla, Dafilu Kula Mitzuchachas Behen Ksheira. You can line the entire sukkah like this with four Tvachim boards, there's no Shear at all. And the Gemara, Rashi is Rabbi Yehudi, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the first b'risa is Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to use any size board you want. Continues the b'risa and says, Rabbi Meir Omer Af Nisarin Kesedina. No. Even the boards can be mitzarif to each other, to like the sheets did, and disqualify from a good b'risa. No.
When it says Shnei Sedinim Mitzarfim is to make it possible.
Yes.
And then comes
the board and
Rabbi Meir and says that what? Shnei Sedinim.
Well, first the Rehu, the first Tanakama says Shnei Sedinim Mitzarfim ain't Mitzarfim.
No, it says Tashma.
Shnei Sedinim and Shnei Mitzarfim. Shnei Sedinim Mitzarfim, Shnei Sedinim and Mitzarfim. Because before we said that...
What's the difference between Sedinim and Nisarim?
One's a sheet and one's a board. Ignore the sheets for now. Let's focus on the boards. So the boards...
Okay. The Reisha is on sheets.
Right. Well, the Reisha is sheet, and then it says Shnei Nisarim. The top of the next page, Shnei Nisarim, two boards are not Mitzarfim. You could use as many boards as you want. They'll never be Mitzarif to pass all the sukkah.
They can't.
Right. Exactly.
Less than 4.
There's no shear right now. There's no amount. Boards.
Let's consider the shear as well. So this is good.
Well, the Gemara is going to address the shear in a second. So boards can be are not mitzarif. You could use all the boards you want. It will never disqualify, according to the Tanakhama.
And the stinim are mekabel tuma. That's the problem.
Right. But then Rabbi Meir holds that, no, even the boards can be mitzarif to pasul.
Rabbi Meir holds that after Nisar, okay.
Fine. So machlok is whether you could use boards or not. That's basically what it is. Can you use boards or not? First opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, that you may use boards, like our Mishnah. Second opinion, Rabbi Meir, is you cannot. So what size boards are we talking about here? So it says the Gemara two lines down, Bishma l'shmuel. This makes sense according to Shmuel. Damark b'she'en ba'an arba machlokas. Aval yeshvim arba diver kol psula. Okay, according to him, that under 4 is where the machlokas is. But above 4, everybody agrees it's pasul. My mitzarfin, mitzarfin l'arba, that you can combine it to a total of 4 tefachim. El l'rav damar b'sheish ben arba machlokas, aval ein behem arba diver kol k'shera, hechidami. If according to him it says that it's not 4, everybody agrees it's kasher, so hechidami. If it has 4 tefachim, what are you being mitzayir for? If it doesn't have 4, my v'akonin ba'almanin who? Right. So let's get this clear for a second.
Right. If there are more than 4, one would be enough to be possible.
If it's more than four, according to Rav, everybody agrees that more than four is possible.
Then you don't need mitzvah, you could just say one.
But everybody agrees that less than three is kasher. But if you mitzvah,
no, if everybody agrees that more than four is possible, you don't need to be mitzvah. You don't need to say mitzvah. To say just 1-4 is according to everybody is possible.
But less than three, everybody agrees that it's kasher.
Right.
But if you mitzvah, three and three, now it's six, like he did here, in this picture.
It's, right.
But this is according to Sdinim. So is Nesachim, is Kasher, or is not Kasher? Because if it's up three and three, now it's six. So it's like they added the Sdinim, two and two, it's four, now it's Pasul.
Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'll agree, within Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that a total of four is going to be Pasul as well.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the concept of tziruf, because the whole sach is soft kol sof et tziruf.
Yeah, you can look at it that way.
So even if you have stuff with between three and four and they're mitzaref, you still the whole sach is
pasul.
No, but it shouldn't, because the whole sach is a tziruf.
Is the expert.
What is it? When you say when they say mitzvah, meaning that they're attached together, or they just put them separately?
No, when you put together, when you add them together,
I thought
it's
when you
tether
that it was.
Because if they're not attached together, that's our regular schach is stuff that's mitzvah. So then what would Rabbi Meir say that it's possible?
So in that case, how can you make any schach?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my question. Right.
No, so they talk about
piece of
wood. No, piece of wood that to begin they are wide, three, four, whatever the shape is, and then because it's so wide, so when you put it together, it's not schach. But when you use this type of schach,
let's say this picture here.
Yeah,
you have two. If these are not attached together. That is, I don't understand the whole concept.
This is two tefachim is wide. That's why even today you don't have such a schach, right? You
see such but it will be kosher. Today if you take planks of two tefachim and you put them over, it will be a good schach. It will be a problem. I think so, at least.
Stuck here.
Let's continue. Maybe you'll answer the question.
We will get this. We're missing something here.
We just made it complicated.
So there's two things. One is when the actual beam board is possible, and then there's what makes the entire sukkah possible.
Okay.
So, according to Shmuel, machlokus is when it's below four. So then, each one individually, it's between three and four, according to Meir, that's a puzzle, that beam is possible, that board is possible. But it doesn't disqualify the entire thing. If, however, in the center of a schach somewhere, there are four tefachim, that disqualifies the entire schach now.
Right,
so what's going on as follows. So Bishamal Shmuel, Damar Bishain Bahin Arba Machlokas, below four, there's a debate about whether that board is a good schach independently. About Yeshbem Arba Direkol Psula, when there's a total of four, though, everybody agrees they're apostle. My Mitzdarfin Arba, that you can combine them together to make four tefachim in the middle, and if there are four tefachim in the middle, the entire sukkah is thrown out the window.
Any schach is like that.
No. If you're mitzaref, pasul schach,
meaning more than.
Right. So let's say you have three and a half tefachim wide, three and a half tefachim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, According to Rabbi Yehuda, those are all kasher schach.
Yeah.
If you put as many of them together,
but
it's kasher schach.
Right.
No, but you can never. But each one individually is kasher.
Okay.
If you combine them together, it's always kasher schach. According to Shmuel, according to Rabbi Meir, 3.5 is pasul schach. But so if I put one of them down, I can't sleep below that 3.5. But the rest of the sukkah is good.
Because it's on four.
Exactly. Because two together, then you combine them, it's a total of seven, that disqualifies the entire sukkah. That's what you're mitzaref to a total of four tefachim.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it has to be in itself, that part of the schach.
Puzzle.
Puzzle, and it has to be whatever is there has to be over four to make the whole sukkah.
Exactly.
Puzzle.
Exactly. Okay.
No, no, let's.
What? El Rav, according to Rav, now.
No, but seriously.
What?
Say it again.
Okay. I didn't hear.
Say it again, because it doesn't make sense to me. Because we're saying about four, there's nothing to talk about. Okay, but if the psach is the schach is this, let's say this is 3.5. It's kosher. One.
No. No. We're saying that according to the one who says that 3.5 is possible, then if it's only 3.5, then you cannot be at that spot. But if you have 3.5 together with 3.5, yeah, in the middle. If you have 3.5, not the whole sukkah, that area is possible.
Let's say this is 3.
No, then it doesn't puzzle. Yeah, then it's good.
But in the middle, it adds to more.
No. Only when you add something that's already that is bad, that it's a pskach puzzle.
Okay. So El Rav, let's see what we get to. We still have 10 minutes, and you probably have to go in 2 minutes. El Rav, Damar Bishiesh ben Arba Machlokas. No, when there are four Tvachim, that's when there's a Machlokas. Aval Ein Bem Arba Divrekal Ksheira. But if there's not four Tvachim, everybody agrees it's Ksheira. Hechidami. So what are you combining to? Once you have four Tvachim, that's Pasal. So then there's nothing to talk about. That's completely, it's Pasal, the whole Sukkah is Pasal. Hechidami. Ida Isbe Arba Lamalunas Drufre. If it's already four Tvachim wide, why do you have to be Mitzar if the entire Sukkah is thrown out the window? Ida Lesbu Arba, if there's not four Tvachim, Amai, Vahakanim Ba'amahu, Ninu. They're Kanim. Anything less than four within the Rav, they each consider Kasher Shach. You can't combine Kasher Shach to create Pasal Shach. So what are you talking about? So the Olam Disbu Arba, really talking about where there's four Tvachim. In my mitzvah, what do you mitzvah for? Mitzvah from la arba, na arba, 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 amos, it should be, minatzad. So the halacha is when you have four tefachim in the middle, pasul in the middle, it's pasul, the entire schach. But if it's, let's say, on the side next to the walls, you don't need four tefachim anymore, you need four amos to disqualify the whole sukkah.
Because there's no akuma.
Exactly. So you have schach pasul on the side, you view that as an extension of the wall. But once you get to four amos, which is much bigger than four tefachim, then you can no longer say dofen akuma. So that's what you're mitzvah for. If it's einachanam, if you have a four tefach wide beam in the center, it's pasul. It's mitzarif to the side, the beam found on the side, then it's mitzarif to four amos of pasul schach.
I still don't get it. What I don't get is, what has to do dofen akuma with the schach in the middle?
Two different points. What the word, the Braise says mitzarifin.
Sorry, but...
No, mitzarifin for what?
Right.
So, we've been assuming mitzarifin to schach pasul in the center.
Yes.
That's what we thought, right. We assume. Mar says, right. No, not true. It's being mitzarif now to the schach pasul on the side.
Okay.
So on the side, you need not four tefachim, you need four amos to disqualify the side of the schach.
And where is the tiro?
When you have these beams, these boards.
Right.
Four tefachim.
So let's see, you have the wall. Yeah. You can take it, David. Take it. Okay. You have a wall. If it's less than four, it's considered...
Less than four amos? Or
less than four amos. It's considered dofen akuma.
Correct.
And it's kosher.
Correct.
And where is the tiro? And then you have something in the middle.
So let's say I have four tefach wide board, which is a pasul board, will disqualify
and
the entire.
And you put it not in the middle; you put it next to it,
next
or
to
in the middle.
Next to it.
In the middle, it wouldn't be
the whole sukkah is pasul.
Okay,
but we're talking about right now a four tefach wide board.
Right.
If I place that board in the center, the entire sukkah is thrown out. Let's say now I place it on the side. It's still good. It's a dofen akuma. I place a second one. That's eight tefachim. Still dofen akuma until I put a total of what. 48 tefachim wide boards,
yeah.
Then we throw the whole thing out.
Okay, so what would that mean then?
That means that's what's been we're talking about. Mitzarif these boards to the side.
To the side to make it more than a dofen akuma.
Exactly.
More than they shouldn't be considered a dofen akuma.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess we'll have to do homework on our own.
Yeah.
This reminds us of the Shkolim Daf.
So we have to finish. 1 second. So we got to where?
We got the Lishna Achrina.
Okay.
Which is the next few lines? Pretty much.
And tomorrow you're going to start from the two dots.
The truth is, you want to go? We still have 5 minutes, six
we
minutes.
Have 5 minutes.
Let's go. This
I'm
is
going sure.
pretty quick, actually.
I'm good. I will
you
go
good, Harry? Yeah, it's
yes.
pretty quick. The next few lines, at least, is pretty much repetitious.
I would definitely go.
So Lishna Achrina, Bishma Lishmul, different version. Bishma Lishmul, Damar Bishain Ben Arba Machlokes. When there's not four, there's Machlokes. Aval Yesh Ben Arba, Direkol Psula, My Mitzarfin. Mitzarfin Arba Amos Matzad. Now we're taking a different version. We're talking about Arba Amos from the side of the Schach. All makes sense according to Shmuel. According to Rav, four tefach wide is possible. So what's it mitzvah for you? If it's in the center, it's possible alone. We're talking about on the sides, mitzvah to four amos on the side. But El Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Afiliyish Ben Arbach Ksheira, even four tefach wide, even eight tefachim wide, that's Ksheira, my aim mitzvahin. He views any board you want. There's no such thing as puzzle board. All boards are considered kanim. What do you mitzarif to? Ksheira. So it's the idea to come Rabbi Yehuda mitzarifin. I'm Rabbi Yehuda aim mitzarifin. Rabbi Yehuda just use the lashon aim mitzarifin, not to imply that there are cases where it can be mitzarif. You're right. It can never be mitzarif. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like in this version you can actually use a 10 tefach wide board as yischach. That's what he comes out. It never will be mitzarif to anything puzzle. According to this,
even on Dafin Akuma,
because it's always kasher. He views all boards as being kanan
right.
Ba'alma.
So that's fair.
Nothing to talk about. Tanya Kavasi the Rab.
So there is no mitzarfim according to Rabbi Meir.
Exactly. According to Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Exactly. We only use lashon aim mitzarfim because to have consistent language, but not to imply that he ever thinks there is mitzarfim. Tanya Kavasi the Rab. Tanya Kavasi the Shmuel. Tanya Kavasi the Rab. Schacha bin Nisar Mishel Erez Shein Behem Arba. Divrei Kol Ksheira. If it's less than four, then it's kosher. Everybody agrees. Yesh ben arba. If it's four tefachim wide, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So this is all according. That makes sense according to Rav, who says the machlokes is above four. But less than four, everybody agrees is good. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'is b'shasa sakana. There's once a situation when they Shasta Khan, which Rashi says, you said you can't do any mitzvahs. Shevianu Nisarim, they brought boards. They were not building schach, we're building houses. They bought these boards to trick the whoever the who was. Shayubahen Tachdein, Shayubahen Arba, four tefachim wide. V'sich agabi marpeses, and they place on top of their nice little patios. V'yashavnu Tachdein. So we see a raya here that four tefach wide boards are permitted. Amrulal, they say, Rabbi Yehuda, come on. Misham Raya, bring a Raya from there. Ain Shasa Sakana Raya. You can't bring a Raya from Shasa Sakana. Special exception. Tana Kavasa Dishmuel. Sicha bin Nisarim Shal Eresh Yesh Ben Arba. Divyakol Psula. Ain Ben Arba. Ben Meir Poser Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So this is the same thing. Again, this is a support to Shmuel. Umod Rabbi Meir. Shim Yesh Ben Neser. Leneser. Kimali Neser. Shim Meniach Pesel Benem Ukshera. You will need the little picture here. Here Rabbi Meir holds, in this case, let's say between each of the boards, I place good schach in between, the bad schach, in that case.
Right.
There Rabbi Meir will actually say it will be good. He'll be mowed in such a case. It will be good. Why? Does Rashi explain why this is?
Rabbi Meir holds that four is possible.
Right.
That four or more is possible. No. This is according to that we say that.
Because we say we view the two side things as combining this is part of the wall Dofen Akuma, and these two we view as like overtaking the middle board.
Okay, according to what concept?
It's a Gemara. The Gemara Rashi quotes a concept later on. Let's see if we have this here. So. And Daf Yud Ches and Alf talks about such a concept.
Because it's not Labud.
Right.
So the question is it...
Let's see, what is the governing concept here?
He said the guy stole, and he has to pay. Right, it's because the guy was going to have to pay. But the A zoning doesn't have enough money.
Great question. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, there's a whole long thing. We have to wait till Yud Ches till we get there.
Okay.
They explain this in this Rashi. We'll have to just take that. Shall we get a few more lines? And then, Moda Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah.
She'im nasin ale nesa shu rachav arba tfachim kshera. You place a four tefach wide beam board, it's good. Ve'in yishem tachtav, ve'yashin tachtav lo yatsvei dechavasa. So this is consistent. Where Rav holds that everybody agrees four tefach wide is not good enough.
All right. Okay, I'll start tomorrow.
You start from here, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right. That's some of the Tara stuff.
We'll catch up.